Can you believe it? The third week of Advent, we get to wear pink vestments, rose candles lit. Today also gets a special name. It's Gaudete Sunday, and it comes from the Latin term for rejoice. And today gets its name from the first word in today's entrance antiphon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near. And he is indeed near. Christmas is close at hand. For the last 2 weeks, the readings and the prayers and Mass have had a theme of longing for the Lord's arrival. And today, the tone of the prayers and the readings changed to reflect the joyful anticipation that our Lord is near. So here's the question. If you're rejoicing and you're joyful, why are you that way? And if you're not, why should you be? 2 weeks ago, Father Dan preached on why we were created, the goodness of creation, the goodness of humanity, that God created everything out of love, especially you and I. And then last week, Deacon Mark preached on how we were captured, that humanity was captured by the deception of Satan and the sin of Adam and Eve. And he made it clear to us who the real enemy is. But he left us hanging at the end when he said, things look hopelessly dark. And they looked hopelessly dark for a long time. But what if the creator of heaven and earth entered the fight? Today, to preach on our rescue. The good news is that our Creator did enter the fight. Our Creator did engage the enemy, and our Creator has come to rescue you and to rescue me. Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is indeed rescuing us. How has he rescued us? Through his incarnation, through his passion, and through the Paschal mystery. So I'd like you to take a moment. Bring to mind the images that you have about the incarnation, about the nativity. I want you to focus on the images because I want to enhance them a little bit. I want to enhance them because if you're like me, I had only a partial picture of the real Jesus for a long time. Because I had only a partial picture, I had an incomplete image of him, and maybe you do too. So Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. And we're getting all caught up in the images of Jesus' birth. The Christmas star, baby Jesus in Mary's arms, Jesus in the manger, the three wise men coming to see the baby Jesus meek and mild. Don't get me wrong, the images are true, they're real. But you and I shouldn't get fooled into thinking that the God who created us, the God who created every single star in the night sky, is a helpless, vulnerable baby. Listen to this antiphon from the Daily Mass during the first week in the octave of Christmas. It comes from the Book of Wisdom. For when peaceful stillness encompassed everything, and the night in its swift course was half spent, your all-powerful word from heaven's royal throne leapt into a doomed world, a fierce warrior bearing a sharp sword. And then there's this from Mark's Gospel. In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." But Jesus doesn't answer the unclean spirit in Mark's Gospel, but he does give us the answer in the first letter of John. He says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, took on our nature, human nature, and entered our world not as a helpless baby, but as a warrior, a fierce warrior, whose mission it is to destroy the real enemy, Satan and his followers, and to rescue you and me from sin and death. Baby Jesus, meek and mild? No. Jesus was born a warrior, and he came to fight for you, and he came to fight for me. So that was the incarnation of the Nativity. So now let's look at the Passion. If you've seen the film, recall some of those images for a moment. If you haven't, think about the Stations of the Cross. So when you think of Jesus' agony in the garden, when he's sweating blood, how do you see him? When you think of him being arrested and chained, slapped and judged, what do you see? When he's stripped and scourged and crowned with thorns, how do you see him? Or when you look at that, knowing that it's a sanitized version of what really happened, what do you see? Do you see the creator of the universe as a victim or as an aggressor? Do you see Jesus as the hunted or the hunter? Does anybody know what an ambush predator is? I had to look it up too. Heard the term and had to look at it. An ambush predator is a carnivorous creature. They kill their prey by stealth or strategy as opposed to speed or strength. They're extremely well camouflaged in their environment. They're hard to detect. They sit and wait silently and motionless for their prey to come close. And when they do, they launch a surprise attack and subdue their prey. I propose to you that Jesus, in his agony in the garden, his crucifixion on the cross, is like an ambush predator. He's drawing his prey ever closer. And who is his prey? Who does he want to destroy? He wants to destroy the real enemy, Satan and his followers. Jesus the warrior entered our world in disguise, camouflaged as one of us. And with every event of his passion, he drew the enemy closer and closer and closer. So what's the surprise attack? Well, fear for me is another image from the Passion. Jesus is on the cross. He looks up to heaven and he said, "It is finished." And the view recedes from Golgotha up into the sky to a point where Jesus on the cross is just this small dot. And then the camera follows that small drop of water, a tear from God, back to earth, and explodes and it hits the ground. Then there's this image. Image of Satan on his knees on this perched, cracked piece of ground screaming towards heaven. Jesus, the ambush predator, is victorious. The great deceiver has been deceived by his creator. Satan brought about his own destruction. Jesus wasn't haunted. Jesus wasn't the victim, not in the sense that something was done to him that he didn't desire. Jesus willed all of this to happen. He chose this, and he was always in control. Jesus is always in control. Jesus is the hunter. Jesus is the avenger. Jesus is the one who's gone to war for you and for me to rescue us from sin and from death. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. No. Jesus is a warrior and he came to fight. So what's the outcome? What's the result of all of this? The result is that we can rejoice this third day of Sunday because Jesus has destroyed death and rescued us from sin. He's transferred us, he's recreated us, he's divinized us, he's rendered sin impotent, he's humiliated the enemy, given us authority over the enemy, and sent us on a mission to save his world. A lot there I can preach on, but I'm only going to focus on one of those elements, that through his paschal mystery, Jesus has recreated each and every one of us. Listen to St. Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, and was raised. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new have come. It cuts to the heart of Paul's message because it's a reflection of his life. Remember that Paul was a persecutor of Christians, and Jesus made him a new creation. Jesus rescued me too. I was baptized here in that font at age 50. Jesus made me a new creation. I have been rescued. I am a new creation. The old things have passed away and new things have come. So show of hands, how many here have come through RCIA? Each of you is a witness to God's grace. He rescued you, and you are a new creation. And every day, each of us has an opportunity to allow Jesus to recreate us and to become a new creation. Through God's grace, you and I can change. I can change. And thanks be to God, we're not bound by our past. The enemy wants to believe that we are. Us to believe that we are. But through Christ's sacrifice, you and I can come here carrying whatever it is that we've been struggling with. Through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism, we can leave our past here and become a new creation. How do we do that? We don't do it by trying. Do it through our surrender to him, for what he did for us there. Remember what Paul said, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away, they're dead, and the new things have come. So I started with a question, and I'm going to end with the same question. If we're joyful and rejoicing, why are we that way? And if we're not, why should we be? I think St. Paul answers it best in his letter to the Colossians when he said, let us give thanks to the Father. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Through him, we have redemption. Jesus the warrior, Jesus the avenger, Jesus the victor. He's rescued you and me from sin and death and made each of us a new creation. So now,